Let us be thoughtful this Thanksgiving week. Let us be mindful of the goodness of God as sung in the psalm this morning. Let us be mindful of the blessings of God. For the measure of faith is the meeting of need. The measure of faith is the meeting of need. The goodness of God knows no limit, no single season, no particular admixture of victory and defeat. Our friends, the seasons themselves, and the prayerful practice of remembrance tell us this again. So let us be mindful of friendship. The friendship of Marsh Chapel is offered each Lord's Day and each weekday in the Lord, first and foremost to those most in need, the physical safety of our students in all times and in all seasons stands as our highest priority in friendship. If you are a sophomore, say, and sense you are in some need or peril, our chaplains and staff welcome you, embrace you in friendship. Now, in a season when, given the events of this past autumn of discontent on campus, some sense possible peril, we stand with you on a daily basis, on the ground level, in a protective posture. Let us be mindful of friendship, as was our friend of blessed memory, Max Coutts, longtime Unitarian minister along the St. Lawrence River. Let us give thanks for a bounty of people, for children who are our second planting, and though they grow like weeds and the wind too soon blows them away, may they forgive us our cultivation and fondly remember where their roots are. For generous friends with hearts and smiles as bright as their blossoms, for feisty friends as tart as apples, for continuous friends who like scallions and cucumbers keep reminding us that we've had them, for crotchety friends as sour as rhubarb and as indestructible, for handsome friends who are as gorgeous as eggplants and as elegant as a row of corn, and the other plain as potatoes and as good for you, for funny friends who are silly as Brussels sprouts and as amusing as Jerusalem artichokes, and serious friends as complex as cauliflowers and as intricate as onions, for friends as unpretentious as cabbages, as subtle as summer squash, as persistent as parsley, as delightful as dill, as endless as zucchini, and who, like parsnips, can be counted on to see you through the winter. For old friends, nodding like sunflowers in the eventide, and young friends coming on as fast as radishes. For loving friends who wind around us like tendrils and hold us despite our blights, wilts, and witherings. And finally, for those friends now gone, like gardens past that have been harvested, and who fed us in their times that we might have life thereafter. For all these, we give thanks. Let us be mindful of friendship. And let us be mindful, too, of the seasons. Last week, most sat before a carved turkey. For many years, Marsh Chapel provided such a meal right here. Now the university itself has taken up that meal and provides it for students who are here over break, along now with open housing. Your ministry, Marsh Chapel, has been such an incubator over time for service that then becomes university-wide. The Marsh Chapel Martin Luther King observance becomes a university-wide observance. A Marsh Chapel community service program becomes a university-wide service. A gospel group becomes a university-wide inner-strength gospel choir, Marsh Chapel hosted. The Marsh Chapel Howard Thurman Room and Listening Center becomes a University Howard Thurman Center. A Marsh Chapel commitment to pastoral care over 7 decades becomes further embodied in behavioral health and SARP and the Office of the Ombuds and others. Your work in incubation continues. You plant seeds and they grow up and on and out season by season. Who knows what seed planted now will grow into a great oak tree in the seasons to come. So last week, you will have been at your table somewhere. It may be that the rhythms of nature in harvest will help us in this dark time of calamity and warfare. Help us to see and serve the hungry, thirsty, stranger, naked, sick, imprisoned, as the parable implores us. It may be that the season itself, redolent and rich with meaning, may support us. It may be that the hymns of thanksgiving, hummed or remembered, may help us. You could also sing them, of course. Even if you're not Methodist, everybody can sing. It may be that the prayers, like those used year by year here at Marsh and used today, may help us. Yes, our lessons from ancient scripture regularly surround us with a thanksgiving conversation. Today, Ezekiel in hope, the psalmist in praise, the epistle in encouragement, and the gospel in loving service. Even those of us dwelling mostly in an urban setting can, from this autumn, warm, mostly dry, mostly pleasant, mostly, receive such a sense of blessing and so a sense of gratitude. Seed time gives way to harvest as tears give way to shouts and joy. The long months of hidden growth, of change and development, unseen under the earth, are a firm reminder that the future will look different from the past and from the present. Every autumn, every harvest season, we are offered such a reminder. Let us be mindful of the seasons of the good earth, of the fruits of harvest, of the fruits of years of labor and love, as one remembered in the figure of her friend. One laywoman, a dear friend, wrote a poem prayer about her friend some years ago. It is set in Wisconsin on a family farm. Sitting by my window, looking out at the field, this chair has been such a comfort for so many years, rocking, rocking. All the children were comforted in this chair, all grown and gone now, babies growing year after year, till they could go to the field to help. The field so green in the spring, then the plow broke it up into beautiful brown earth, worked over and over, until the seeds had a wonderful bed in which to grow, week after week growing, and then harvest. We all went to the field for the harvest, sunrise to sunset, day after day, finished at last, ready for winter. Now looking across the field at beautiful virgin snow, like watching a baby sleep, so peaceful, happy for the quiet, anxious for the awakening, start again, sitting by my window, rocking, rocking. Her rocking, the rhythm of her remembrance along the brown earth, seems a world away from our world today, for we have been this past autumn through a very difficult patch. Nature may aid culture here. Nature may refresh culture here. We will want to be somber and sober to remember that God gives the human being a rooted daily freedom, but does not then suddenly intervene to erase that freedom, does not root it out, however perversely, however violently, however mistakenly that freedom is used. We will want to remember this when the worry birds are flying, filling the late autumn darkening sky. And they are in flight, these worry birds. Planet warming, Ukraine reeling, Israel bleeding, Gaza flaming, Trump bleeding, lakes greening, loved ones moving, BU changing, age advancing, winter coming. We will want to remember the divine gift of freedom when the worry birds are flying, filling the late autumn darkening sky. For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand fast, therefore, and do not be enslaved again. We will want to stand up, sit up, and take notice that liberty is only of any value within the constraints of security to enjoy it, and that security is only of any value as a basis for the enjoyment of liberty itself. As people of faith, we cannot in sloth afford to be naive, refusing the dominical wisdom of serpents to hide underneath the false innocence of doves when facing hatred, religious terrorism, and nihilistic venom. Protection for the lamb requires resistance to the wolf before either determines to lie down with the other. Any manner of bigotry deserves to be met by condemnation, contempt, and resistance. And we have plenty of work to do, so let us not grow weary in the doing of it. We will want to sharpen our understanding of the requirement in just war theory of proportionality, of response that is proportionate to the provocation, proportionate to the needed defense, proportionate to the given situation, and those, especially women and children, potentially harmed therein. We do not want to pray, preach, sing, or proffer a kind of cheap grace. The utter realism of the Bible, the Holy Scripture, beginning to end on the one hand, and our brutal experience across many centuries on the other hand, forbid it. Read again Victor Klemperer's two-volume diary, I Will Bear Witness, or the exemplary biography of Dietrich Bonhoeffer, Strange Glory, or John Clinch's new memoir of Ulysses S. Grant, The General and Julia, or any one of the novels of Marilynne Robinson. And in helping one another, in speaking to our children and our grandchildren, in seasonal Thanksgiving conversation, we can at least remind them that they are safe and it is okay to feel sad about what has happened to others. And we can continue to support and protect our neighbors and friends of all manner of different traditions, religious and secular alike. So let us be mindful of the seasons this Thanksgiving, and let us be mindful, too, of remembrance. You know, we honor with regularity four different calendars here in worship, Sunday by Sunday. One is our university calendar, including matriculation and baccalaureate and commencement and all. One is the Marsh Chapel calendar, including summer preaching series and July picnic and lessons and carols coming next week. One is our Christian liturgical calendar, including Christ the King Sunday this morning and the beginning of Advent next week. And one is our national calendar, with recognition of the 4th of July, Martin Luther King Sunday, Labor Day, and this week, Thanksgiving, that quintessentially American holiday. All of them, our former Dean Howard Thurman honored with a regular attention to the varieties of and in life. Howard Thurman, who was 100 years ahead of his time 50 years ago, was so nationally, religiously, locally, and collegiately, and so mindful. Underneath it all, he was attentive to all that dehumanizes life, to anxiety, to depression, to loneliness, to disconnection, to all that unbalances the person. And he would remind us, come this Sunday, that there is much in life that you didn't cause, that you cannot control, and that you may not be able to change. I didn't cause it, I can't control it, and I may not be able to change it. See, hear him, and know he is here with and for you and me. Thurman's poem, in part. Today I make my sacrament of thanksgiving. I begin with the simple things of my days, fresh air to breathe, cool water to drink, the taste of food, the protection of houses and clothes, the comforts of home. For all of these I make an act of thanksgiving this day. I bring to mind all the warmth of humankind that I have known, my mother's arms, the strength of my father, the playmates of my childhood, The wonderful stories brought to me from the lives of many who talked of days gone by when fairies and giants and all kinds of magic held sway. The tears I have shed, the tears I have seen, the excitement of laughter and the twinkle in the eye with its reminder that life is good, for all these I make an act of thanksgiving this day. To conclude the story, an analogy, full well knowing that all analogies stumble. The point of the parable this morning is that there is still a future remarkable, different, and good. We just don't know what the future holds. You watch and wait. We left Cornell and Ithaca in 1981 for pastoral visits along the St. Lawrence River in the far north in the bitter cold in the barns at milking, for ministry among farmers and truck drivers in the fire department, for an immersion in non-urban poverty, poverty without electricity and without a subway along a frozen river, and later for counseling with engineers let go by a failing carrier corporation, prayer with factory workers disemployed by Oneida Silver and Smith Corona, tearful farewells to executives leaving Kodak. In short, the disappearance of both farming and manufacturing as the drums of globalization beat along the Mohawk. Why do we wonder that people disemployed in non-coastal regions are angry and express that anger politically? In one sense, for us, our real theological education began in earnest in 1981, as Martin Luther taught us. One becomes a theologian by living, by dying, and by being damned, not by understanding, reading, and speculation. You watch and wait. You have faith, you have hope, and you have each other. And you have plenty of work to do, awaiting the day when the wolf and the lamb shall feed together, the lion shall eat straw like the ox, and the dust shall be the serpent's food. And they shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, says the Lord. Many years ago, I asked my mother of blessed memory, who worked 1951 to 1953 next door at then CLA, now CAS, why churches were so full in the 1950s. Born in 1929, she thought for a moment, for a good long while, and then she said, "I guess we were just very grateful. We had lived through the long, very hard years of the Depression and survived that. We had seen the war come, the Second World War, and take away many of our neighbors and friends, and had survived that. We had seen losses and unexpected defeats, but had survived them. We had made it through, and I guess we were all just very grateful, very grateful, very grateful. So we came to church to say so and sing so and pray so, and live so. Every week was a kind of thanksgiving." Maybe our own days, week by week, should be an ongoing thanksgiving as well. For the measure of faith is the meeting of need. The measure of faith is the meeting of need. Maybe our thoughts at thanksgiving on friends and seasons and remembrance can, should, and will carry us through, and carry us through, and carry us through the whole year, too. Amen.